And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
We're the Pop Truck. Head to the dirt.
Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo TB, pop the trunk.
Cause we make a pop the trunk and hit the switch.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Now give me your boom.
Reds, today is Monday. Our intro is so unique. We take pride in being your favorite podcaster's favorite podcast. Got the music, we got the flavor. Start the intro again, please.
And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
When a pop truck, head to dirt.
Worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo TB, pop the trunk.
Cause we make a pop the trunk and hit the switch.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Now give me your boom.
He is Jalen Rose.
What up?
Dope.
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in. Center stage on the mic.
And we're putting it on wax. It's the new stuff.
Well, Jalen Jacoby, what do we do?
We got people. What they want.
So much to cover today. We had a full slate of games in the National Football League. We had a couple big games in college football. We had still defeated 76ers, still undefeated 76ers. Rockets with a funny performance in Miami. Lakers haven't lost since opening night. Remember when they lost to the Clippers? Haven't lost a game since. Big game against Luka, dueling triple doubles. Beat the Spurs yesterday. And we got some soft move or boss moves. Drake's involved. Jalen texted me at 6 in the morning about some coach's wife kissing the players in the mouth.
Florida.
What? Real excited.
That need to be outlawed.
Real excited.
Immediately.
Real excited about that one. And not only all of that, we have a Hall of Famer.
We have a GOAT literally going to be here today.
A GOAT is coming here.
A GOAT
is going to be right here in the studio with us. Not an actual GOAT. This is Bah. Greatest of all time. The greatest wide receiver of all time is going to be right here in the studio. And if you don't know who that is, I don't know what to tell you. Because there's no debate.
No debate.
You can talk about LeBron and Michael Jordan.
That's no debate either.
You can talk about that. You can talk about Joe Montana and Tom Brady. You can talk about whatever running back you want to talk about. But there's no debate about who the greatest wide receiver of all time is.
Jerry Rice.
There's no debate.
You have five touchdowns in a game one time.
One Sunday.
That was a good day. I was having fun that day. I was like a little kid. On that day, man.
And that's actually when wide receivers had to have courage to go across the middle?
Yep. But they just kept lining me up one-on-one.
What?
One-on-one. Yeah. If you can't defeat one-on-one as a receiver, you don't belong in the league. So
yeah, that was you had a decent quarterback throwing the ball to you.
Oh, yeah. I made him look good. I said, Joe, just throw it to me, baby. That's all you got to do. Throw it up. That's all you got to do. I'll take care of you.
So as a football fan, and I see the way the game is like pass happy now, shotgun on first down in the red zone, many teams not using fullbacks. You guys with Bill Walsh were innovators, yes. The West Coast offense. And I always appreciated as a fan that you guys had multiple styles.
Oh, yes.
You and John Taylor, you can hand it off to Raffman, you can hand it off to Roger Craig.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So do you see a lot of what you guys were starting then being mirrored in today's game?
No. No, because we tried to establish the run, and the run was going to open up the passing game. And we always went into a game with that game plan. And, you know, when you had a running back like Tom Rathman, Roger Craig, all those guys, we knew that we as receivers just had to get downfield, get in position, make blocks and do all that stuff. Then that was going to open up the passing game. So you got the run pass option now. You see a little bit of that, but you know, you see a lot of short passes.
Yeah.
You know, we had the West Coast offense and we were going to throw the ball deep downfield. Yeah, we were going to put the ball up in the air, and I think that was, you know, that really what made San Francisco so great.
Yeah, San Francisco's pretty good now, too.
Go Niners, baby. I like
it. They have not lost a football game this entire season. What has been the key to their success?
You know, I think, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan.
Agreed.
I mean, what they implemented, that defense, unbelievable. Because even when I came into the NFL, we knew that we won championships with defense.
Yep.
Ronnie Lott and all those guys. We have that defense. The offense is starting to catch up now. And I think I'm hoping towards the end that, you know, they're working on all cylinders and stuff like that. And I feel like they have a legitimate chance of doing something special going to the Super Bowl.
And they added a number one receiver, too. That's going to be really helpful. Acquired him from Denver. What about Nick Bosa and his effectiveness?
An he's an animal, man. I'm serious. He's like one big muscle. but he got so much finesse about him. And just watch this guy, you know, the way he can rush the passer. But then to have the ability to go up and make that interception and run. He was really running. So, Bosa is a great addition. We got so many guys on that defensive line. The secondary is starting to really come together, too. So, we're going to make that run.
It feels like they are. And one thing I love about this 49ers team is some of the runs that Kyle Shanahan puts together. You know, it's not just like the Patriots want to throw the ball all over the place. How have they been so effective in establishing the run, unlike other teams in the NFL?
I guess when you got Coleman, you got Bria, you know, you got all of these guys, you know, you got four backs that's carrying that rock. And, if you establish the run, you can be a little bit more creative with play action and all that stuff. And I think that slows that rush down just a little bit, where now Jimmy G can look downfield and get the ball in the hands of Sanders and the other receivers. And Kittle is an animal.
Love him.
Yes.
He's a beast. I love him.
Yes.
He's a beast. I saw him just slap this defensive back like, you know, you a little man. Get off of me. And said, hey, look, I don't want 3 points. I want to score a touchdown. And he was able to
get angry.
There,
so. He plays angry.
Yeah,
he's got great personality too.
But I think his teammates, they get fired up off that. That's the type of energy that you need. And you look at Jimmy G, you know, like when they were making their move to come back, he was smiling. He's having a good time on the football field because he knows that all the pressure is not on me. I got players that, you know, that can make plays and help us to win.
And Absolutely. He had four touchdowns that game. Yeah. Not only being a goal in the game, being a student of the game. So many great receivers today in the NFL. If you had to choose who you feel like were the handful of top receivers in today's game, no particular order, who would you say?
I'm going to give you my number one. Number one is Julio Jones.
Really?
Julio Jones has everything. I mean, he's big. He's fast. The way he can come out of his routes, you know, he can make catches. He can run by you. He can do it all. You know, Larry Fitzgerald. Larry is still, you know, he's still an animal. Mm-hmm. And the way he played the game, and I was there for his, when Larry, he was joking around me. He said, you know, there's no trophies or anything in becoming second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stuff like that. But he moved up to that second spot. But, you know, those two guys, man, and the way they play the game, I just love it.
Do you have relationships with any receivers in the game now that reach out to you and get pointers and things like that?
Well, I was trying to build one with Antonio Brown because I really thought Antonio Brown wanted to come to the Niners. Then he ended up going to the Raiders. Then he ended up going to the Patriots, and now he's out of football. But, you know, this guy and his work ethic is just unbelievable. But, you know, he might need to tone everything else down off the field just a little bit. Odell Beckham, the same thing. Odell works his butt off, and, you know, he wants to win football games and all that. And I was sort of a little disappointed, you know, during that last football game when he was one-on-one. And you're going to tell me you brought this guy in to be your guy and you pay him all this money. And in a situation like that, you're not going to throw the ball up to him where he has the opportunity to win the game.
So you set an amazing standard of how to conduct yourself on the football field.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the diva label that receivers continue to foster?
It's unfortunate. I never wanted to be a distraction to the team. You know, with uniforms and stuff like that, there's certain codes that you have to live by and stuff. And my thing, I would wear my socks just a little bit high. But if someone came over to me, one of the guys, and said, you need to pull your socks down a little bit, I would do that. But, you know, nothing with shoes and all this, this crazy stuff that's going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're obviously referencing Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. The NFL asked him to change their cleats at halftime. They had like Joker cleats, and the cleats have to be white and black or team colors.
Right.
You know, so I guess there is some rule. Do you kind of feel like Odell Beckham gets singled out and is sort of under extra scrutiny because of his history?
I think so. And even, you know, after that play didn't happen between him and Baker Mayfield, the camera went straight towards him.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, people wanted to see if he was going to explode or do something crazy on the football field. Mm. But as a competitor, you know, we try not to be a distraction or anything like that. You know, but doing opportunity, you know, if you have a one-on-one opportunity, you want the ball to come to you. You know, you want to take that weight on your shoulders to try to win that football game for your team.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield got to get him the ball.
Yeah.
So is it? But I don't, is it the call?
I don't think they're on the same page.
Correct. Yeah, is it the play call or the quarterback?
Did I read it?
No. This is something that you have to build this chemistry, and you have to build it during practice and all of that. Because whenever I came to the line of scrimmage, I had one-on-one. I knew Joe Montana was going to come out with mm-hmm. me. And I didn't have to do anything. And we had a lot of success at that. So this is something you have to practice and you have to earn.
So I read a feature on you on The Ringer. I bet you know which one I'm going to talk about. And it was about one of your hobbies. One of your hobbies was go golfing.
Yeah.
And then crash a wedding at the golf course.
Yes,
I love crashing weddings.
Yes, man,
I want to hear all about it.
Man, I get all the free champagne and all of that stuff. And, you know, I can sit down at the wedding, be right in the front with the family, do all that.
You ever give a speech?
No. If I'm at a golf course and there's a wedding going on, I always try to go show my respect, you know, to the bride and the groom. And once I do that, they just invite me in. So it's not like I go there looking for anything sure. like that. But now I have this thing of being the wedding crasher. I'm like, oh, yeah. So it's pretty cool, man.
We got to get you in the movie.
Yeah.
Tell us one of your favorite stories of crashing any of those weddings.
You know how you have to sign the book?
Mm.
I was asked to sign the book. I'm like, seriously, you want me to put my name on it? You're part of our wedding and stuff like that. So now when I go to golf courses and stuff like that, and if they're doing a tour or something like that, if they see me there, and they want me to come back and be part of their wedding. You know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the wedding.
Yeah, right. They'll be upset if you're not in it.
Yeah. I'm talking about down the road. Like, look, let me see if I can fit that into my schedule.
So here's one thing I got to know. You're going golfing.
Yeah.
Do you pack a suit just in case?
No, I'm just in golf attire.
Just in golf attire? Yeah, you're Jerry Rice. They don't mind.
No, they take me like that.
Do you give a gift? A little, you know, a little something?
Well, I have danced with the bride.
Okay.
You know,
okay. Right.
Okay.
It's like, I'm Jerry Rice. That is a gift.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just love it so much. You make memories. You're making memories.
Yes. It's
their special day, and you're giving them a special memory
awesome.
On it. You know,
yeah,
it's great.
Also, what is so nice, too, I get a chance to really interact with the family, and I can take pictures and stuff like that. Think about this guy. All I have to do is just take pictures with people to make their day.
Yeah.
That's something special.
That is.
That's amazing. Yeah. Also something special. Tell us about this.
Oh, man. Hey,
America's Game.
Tell us about this.
This book right here, man. You think about Lombardi and all those guys. You know, what type of coach was he? You know, I played for the best, like, you know, Bill Walsh, Joe Montana as a quarterback, Johnny Unitas, the fearsome foursome of the Rams, you know, with Mel Olsen and all that stuff. Then the purple people eaters, Minnesota Vikings, you know, Alan Page and all stuff. But this talk about, you know, the game that I love, and also how football almost didn't really survive the Great Depression, World War II, the shape of the ball, all of that stuff, how football has evolved now. And it's just a great book. Once you pick it up, you're not going to want to, you know, put it down.
That's great. Thank you so much for coming by, Jerry. You can get America's Game, the NFL at 100 by Jerry Rice. And if you're lucky, he will come to your wedding.
Oh, yeah.
If you're lucky, he will come to your wedding.
And you better have your dancing shoes on.
Thank you so much. You're welcome to come back anytime.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
I think it's time to get the people. Just okay is not okay. Whether you're talking about your wireless network or your college football. So on Saturday morning when you're looking for a game to watch, we know you're all in on your team. But after that, don't settle for just an okay matchup. Do what I do. Find the best game that's going on with the best teams and the best players. Like choosing a wireless network. You want to go with America's best network, AT&T. Just like the best of the best in college football, you'll never settle for just okay. You need the best meats to put on the grill. The best beers. The best adult beverages. The best gear, the best everything. Just okay is not okay, especially when it comes to your wireless network. So get AT&T, America's best network, and stay on top of your game all season long. Best network based on GWS One Score, September 2019. Jalen Rose.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes there's breaking news. Sometimes for watchers of Jalen Jacoby, news is just broken.
To everyone else, it's breaking news. To Jalen and Jacoby listeners, it's broken news.
Jalen, you called it. The Ravens didn't just beat the Patriots. They hung 37 on that Patriots defense. They started out up 17 to nothing. Your guy, Lamar, ran for two, threw for one. What did you see from the Ravens last night in Baltimore?
Ozzie Newsome put together a team along with John Harbaugh that could cater to Lamar's strengths.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I always talk about where you get drafted means so very much.
Yes.
Because this is the only team in the NFL that plays this smash mouth football style. I talk about it every day. Multiple tight ends lining up on the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
Multiple people lining up in the backfield.
They got so many tight ends.
And I knew how they were going to win. Let me tell you the beats. I said Lamar was going to be electric.
That happened.
That happened. I said Ingram was going to go over 100.
That happened.
I said Humphrey was going to make a big time play. That happened. Fumble recovery for a TD. I said Thomas was going to get an interception. That happened. And lastly, I said the Ravens were going to win. That also happened.
And this also says something about the Patriots. You know, like we always think about Tom Brady and comebacks. And I kept waiting for it to happen and waiting for it to happen and waiting for the defense to get a big stop. They were gifted a touchdown, too, from that punt fumble. Like, this was a little bit of an L for the Patriots, too. Don't you agree?
I do. And even on the first drive, the Ravens were about to kick a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Offside penalty.
Oh, yeah.
Then Lamar dazzles and scores a touchdown.
And they started to come back. Remember that third quarter drive where the Ravens had it for over 8 minutes? It seemed like they could just do whatever they wanted.
Third quarter, Edelman fumble.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one Humphrey scored. So, but here's what I saw in the Patriots that I felt like the Ravens are going to be able to take advantage of. They're always built to be a physical team. I don't care if it's Ray Lewis. I don't care if it's Ed Reed, T. Sizzles. That's who they want to be. That's their identity. And you know what they're able to do when Lamar Jackson in the offense running up time of possession? They're resting.
Yes, they are.
They're resting.
They're resting.
And when they get out there on the field, they're physical.
That was a very impressive drive in the third quarter.
Multiple drives are over 6 minutes.
Mm.
Okay? That's how they suffocate you as a team. And also for the Patriots, they have not been able to establish a run game this year.
No.
I thought Sony Michel was going to be getting frequent 100-yard rushing games.
No.
That's not happening.
No.
And also, he's 42 years old. Tom Brady ain't throwing the ball deep.
No.
But I have Sanu on my fantasy team. Okay, he caught 10 balls, 80-plus yards, a TD.
Edelman, all of them are about 5 yards from the line of scrimmage.
And Edelman, they caught 20 balls.
You can tell, he gets back, he looks deep, and then he just checks down. That's what he does every time. Well, John Harbaugh and Earl Thomas of the Ravens spoke about the big win after the game. Let's check in with them.
I don't see him as young. I've told you guys, you know, I think he's wise beyond his years in a lot of ways. I mean, he's sitting right here. I don't want to blow him up too much, you know, make him too happy here, you know.
Man, this man is the MVP. I'm right behind him. I'm backing him. You know, he makes my job easier. And you know, when you finish a game like that, man, it's just a solid relief again on us on defense. If we ain't got to have the pressure on us, we don't want the pressure now. But if it comes to it, we'll deal with it. But it's good when those guys capitalize for it.
Sounds like Earl was echoing some of your sentiments about the game.
He makes my job easier.
Mm-hmm.
Ball control. That means the defense on the side having Gatorade and resting.
Yep.
Now, all of a sudden, when they get out there, they're fresh and they're popping people.
Yep.
They're causing fumbles. They're creating turnovers. They're enthusiastic about watching him perform.
Mm-hmm.
He's an exciting player. Yep.
Well, he also called him an MVP candidate. Another MVP candidate had himself a day yesterday. Russell Wilson. 5 touchdowns.
How many?
5 touchdowns. It was a good game between the Bucs and the Seahawks. It actually went into overtime. I was surprised by that. with Russell's 5 touchdowns, do you think that makes him the MVP favorite right around the halfway point of the season?
Yeah, he deserves to be in that conversation with Lamar. Don't sleep on McCaffrey. He's also playing really well.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side, first off, Mike Evans, he be getting his numbers.
Yep.
That guy be getting his numbers. Now, Lockett and Metcalf. When you lose Doug Ball, when you're trying to figure out what's going to be next, Lockett has become their number one. You draft Metcalf. He's shown that he's built like a Greek god. Okay. Now he's enamored. Now he found his way into the offense. And you know they signed Gordon also. So now they're putting weapons around Russell. They got a 3-down back in Carson. So now they're becoming a complete offensive team. And Russell Wilson does not have to run every time. He doesn't have to be responsible for carrying so much of the load that it seemed like he was carrying the last couple of years.
Carson's got to hold on to the ball. We also had another big game in Kansas City. No Patrick Mahomes for the Chiefs.
What Mahomes, man?
He was on the sideline in his little military gear, but Matt Moore was out there doing things. Matt Moore played pretty well. You know, there's a great pass to Hill there early on in the game. They also got a 91-yard scamper from Damian Williams here. And this was a close game. It came down to the very end where Matt Moore brought them down the field. And my guy, Harrison Butker, with the 44-yarder. You know, they didn't win pretty, but they won, and the Vikings are a very good team. What'd you think about the Chiefs without Mahomes?
You remember when I said if there was a chink in the offense of the mighty Kansas City Chiefs, where was it? The run game.
Running game, yep.
91-yard touchdown by Williams was the difference.
Mm-hmm.
When they're able to run the ball, we know Tyreek Hill, who, by the way, ran down as faster than he did.
Yeah, he caught
on a touchdown. Okay, we know he could get out of the gates. That run game just creates a level of balance. We know about Kelce, but when they're able to do that, now all of a sudden the defense has to be on its heels more. They're allowed to do a lot more play action.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I appreciate about Andy Reid's game plan.
And one thing I love about Andy Reid's game plan, this is Mahomes wasn't there. You know, and Matt Moore, no one's saying Matt Moore is a great backup quarterback, but Matt Moore played well, and a lot of that is the scheming that Andy Reid does to put him in a position to succeed. Good win for the Chiefs, but bad news. This one hurts. Jacoby went down. Jacoby Brissett got kind of rolled on. It looked like his ankle got stepped on. His knee ended up hurt. Doesn't seem like it's going to be that bad, but that just meant Brian Hoyer had to come in, and he played pretty well. But the Steelers, Minkah Fitzpatrick there, running back a pick 6. The Steelers are now 4-4. Jalen, 4-4. How surprising is that based on everything that's happened with the Steelers?
Well-coached football team. On a third-string quarterback, Mike Tomlin has never had a team go under 500. But you got to make that field goal.
I mean, you got to miss closer than that.
You got to make that field
goal. If you're going to miss, it can't be that bad.
So I'm seeing a lot of kickers costing their team victories this year. It seems like it's happening more often. If it's a 40 to 45 yard field goal, you got to make that.
Yes.
That's why you get paid the big bucks.
Yes.
So I'm disappointed in Vinatieri and a veteran, a legend in the game. You ready for this?
Jacoby?
He might be getting cut.
Well, they remember early on the season, that was the whole, remember game week 2, week 3? It was like, oh, he's not the guy for the job. Yeah. But then he had a nice little run. But this, he didn't just miss. Like, he
shanked it.
That was like me out there. He really missed that one. That was bad. Well, sticking with some of the best teams in the league, I thought the Packers would easily handle the Chargers. Like, I wasn't even planning on watching this game. I was like, this is going to be a blowout. No big deal. Packers on the road. They got this. They did not get this. Jalen, they didn't score a point. They didn't score a point in the first half. They ended up losing 26-11. Jalen, what did they expose about the Packers?
Here's what they exposed. You ready for this? Mm-hmm. They can't protect Aaron Rodgers when you blitz 4.
Yeah.
They only blitzed him one time. That's the fewest in Aaron Rodgers' career. He had the second worst QBR of any game in his career. Ingram, Bosa, getting to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
In run game, Gordon had a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah. First time that's happened this year. But also Aaron Jones, 30 yards. Remember all those games Aaron Jones was doing? It just seemed like this Packers team wasn't great. And one thing that Aaron Rodgers did after the game I wanted to talk to you about, let's listen to his post-game comments after this loss.
This is a good slice of humble pie for us. You know, we're kind of rolling at 7-1 and starting to, you know, listen to the chatter maybe a little too much. So think this will be a good thing for us. We'll regroup, go back home, and play another good team before the bye.
He's a vet. He's a vet. He said it's a good thing for us. How can that be a good thing for you?
I just wanted him to say and have some scotch. I know at some point he had to mention that.
Some. He had some.
Win or lose. So a lot of people talk about the NFC, and rightfully so, gave props to the Packers defense, yeah. So much so, you figure Aaron Rodgers, after a slow start for him, then he had that breakout 6-touchdown game.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of really the only big game he's had all year offensively. Adams came back yesterday. They had their full complement of players.
That's a good point.
So I want to give the credit to the Chargers for being physical and getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they expose? That front four, if he could get to Aaron Rodgers, now all of a sudden you can cover on the back end.
Yeah, he was sacked 3 times, but he was pressured. He was bothered. He was bothered all day. It was a really good play, good day for the Chargers. Congratulations to them. Jalen Rose, you and I got together Saturday night, stayed out way past my bedtime, and had a great time at the Masvidal-Diaz fight. Diaz and Masvidal went toe-to-toe. It was a lot of fun to watch. Masvidal was dominant throughout the entire evening, but it just seemed like Diaz would just kept coming forward. It just seemed like Diaz was just impossible to knock out. It wasn't until the doctor came in, looked at the cut over Diaz's right eye, and said that he could not continue. What do you think of Masvidal's performance in the octagon?
That's a blood sport.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are gladiators.
Yeah.
And neither one of them was backing up.
No.
They were not backing up. But I was saying this to you that night. It seemed like when Masvidal kicks and or knees, it's really powerful and really accurate.
He just like close corner knees to the ribs. Like, that's got to hurt.
Yeah.
That's got to hurt.
And so we appreciate the hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
We accepted the invite. He won the fight. Now we got to reach back out to him. For the celebration.
We do got to reach back. He did promise a celebration.
For the celebration.
He did promise a little celebration in Miami.
Yes.
Well, we're going to check back in on Masvidal. They did maybe hint at a rematch after the fight. I would probably rather see Masvidal fight somebody else before we get Diaz again. But it was such a really fun night and a great fight. Moving on. You remember when the Lakers lost to the Clippers on opening night?
Mm-hmm.
They have not lost a single basketball game since then. Mm-hmm. And they've been hot. We all remember what happened on Friday night against the Mavs, but yesterday they went down into San Antonio and took care of business against the Spurs, and they're getting a really good contribution from that man right there. Dwight Howard and his bad hair. Like Dwight Howard has been impressive, over 2 blocks a game. What do you think about Dwight early this season?
Two characters reinventing themselves.
Mm.
Number one, LeBron without a headband.
Yep.
Playmaking.
Actually playing defense.
Dropping dimes, taking charges.
4 charges this year.
That's what happens when he hasn't played meaningful basketball since April.
Mm-hmm.
He's motivated.
Yeah.
Also, you mentioned Dwight Howard. Earlier in the year when I talked about what the Lakers were going to do to give teams problems, you remember what I said it was going to be?
Size across the board.
Their bulk and their ability to contest and change or block shots. And now you got Avery Bradley, who went out with an injury,
mm-hmm.
fighting through screens. He's a bulldog. You know how much I like watching him play defense. Danny Green, big 3-shot maker.
And working Kuz back. Kuz looks a little rusty, but they're going to work him back. He's been out for a long time, but he also helps their height across the board. But
correct.
You got Green and LeBron and Kuz and AD and, you know, in whatever center, McGee or Dwight Howard, like that's a big team across
see,
the
LeBron,
board.
And LeBron legitimately, offensively, is now the primary ball handler initiating offense like a point guard.
Yes.
That drop pass to Anthony Davis. That's money. Anthony Davis now getting the ball in the middle to make a decision. And against switching teams, just get on the post.
Yep.
Just get on the left block.
Go ahead.
Just get on the block.
Go ahead.
And that slows the game down, and that helps your transition defense.
And number one in defensive efficiency right now. I knew that they would have much improved defense from last year, but number one in defensive efficiency. I know it's very early. They probably won't stay there, but that's a really good indicator for their success. And they have been riding that success. You mentioned
that's
Masvidal.
Who Frank Vogel is. Defensive led
Masvidal
coach.
Taking us out in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that. Well, the Rockets were in town and I think they arrived on Saturday and they had a game on Sunday.
Oh,
you want to know how that game started? That game started 46-14.
Say that again.
46-14. Jalen, you play a long time in the NBA. Do you think they went out Miami on Saturday night?
Of course. Prime 112 and everything. I'll tell you where they were. How about this? Miami's undefeated. It has nothing to do with the opponent. Miami's, that's a distinct home court advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You said they arrive when?
I believe they arrive on Saturday for a Sunday game.
Okay, and Miami's one of those places, like New York, like Vegas, where you take a nap before you go out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Miami don't start till 3-4 in the morning. And we got a game today. Oh, today, yeah, not tomorrow. We got a game today. And the Heat took advantage of it. And also, but I want to make a serious basketball point. Watching these two teams play, it became a contrast of styles. One franchise prides itself on toughness and defense.
Yep.
The Miami Heat. You will not play for Eric Spoelstra if you don't compete on that end. And then watching the Rockets, who don't seem to value defense.
Mm-mm.
And Mike D'Antoni never has as a coach. So when those two conflicting styles run into one another, you get the score that you just said.
And you need huge performances from Harden and Westbrook to make up for everything else.
Correct.
You didn't get that day. Maybe they went out that night before in Miami. I'm not saying they did. I wasn't there. But maybe they did. That would make a lot of sense.
And there's 15 people on the team.
Yes.
So you think 15 people was in bed at 10 o'clock?
You think everybody was just ordering room service, watching movies in the hotel room? Probably not. Not Miami. It is now time for Soft Move or Boss Move. Jalen, it was Drake's birthday. Happy birthday to Drake.
Drizzy.
He bought himself a 22-carat heart-shaped diamond ring for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Buying yourself a 22-carat heart-shaped diamond ring for your own birthday. Soft move or boss move?
Boss move. No question about it.
I don't know.
Why is that?
Buying yourself a birthday present.
Treating yourself.
Buying yourself a birthday present?
Do you buy things for yourself?
I do buy things for myself.
Well, so what's the difference with it being on your birthday or not?
Well, a heart-shaped 22-carat diamond that costs like somewhere between $400,000 and $600,000.
Sometimes if you don't toot your own horn, you don't hear the music playing.
What? Did you just make that up?
Yes.
Great job. You're so good at this, Jalen Rose.
I was trying to figure it out in my head. And I was like, okay.
I know you well enough to know that you just made that one up. I like that one.
Yeah, you've been around me for 10 years.
Give it to me again.
Oh, that's like 98580 Jalen.
That's the number that Jalen Rose always forgets to call and leave his voicemail. Sometimes if you don't toot your own horn, you don't hear the music playing. The Jalen and Jacoby podcast is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven. Now it is time for Keep It Moving. Not everything is worth discussing. If you want to discuss the topic, say hit the brakes. If not, me, you, and Method Man jump in the minivan and keep it moving. Are you ready, Mr. Rose?
Let's get it.
Well, the Broncos beat the Browns. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Baker Mayfield continued to struggle for the Browns, who are kind of falling apart. And immediately after the game, safety Jermaine Whitehead took to Twitter and responded to criticism with threats of violence and used some language that I will not repeat. Jalen, they have since waived Whitehead. What do you make of this Twitter storm after the game?
All losses aren't created equal. And on the schedule, you got to find a way to beat the Denver Broncos if you're the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Your goals are what we thought they could be coming into this season.
Yep.
I'm not surprised he got released for those tweets. It's really unfortunate that that happened. But I'm now acknowledging this would be Freddie Kitchens' only year coaching that team.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think so?
He and Adam Gase. I know we're not talking about the Jets, but those two guys and Dan Quinn in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Those three guys, it seems like their teams are underachieving so very much that unfortunately it's going to cost those guys their job.
The Browns finished the season really well last year. If they do not do that again this year, I believe that you are correct.
But I have to say one other thing, too. You see the resurgence that's happening with the 49ers? It starts with their number one overall pick in Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns got a number one overall pick in Myles Garrett. They need him to have that level of impact. So we're going to put it all on their offense because it's a big name offense. But their defense has been a disappointment as well.
That's a good point. The Eagles beat the Bears. Keep it moving or hit the brakes. Keep it moving.
We're keeping moving.
I'm glad D-Jax came back.
We keep it moving.
Open it up for Ertz.
The Michigan Wolverines.
Hit the brakes. Hit the brakes.
They went into Maryland, returned the first
kickoff
for 97 yards. It was 38-7. How do you feel about Big Blue on Saturday?
You know how much I love kickoff returns.
I know you love kickoff.
And soon the game happened. I was really enthusiastic. And then the kickoff return for 97 yards. Start playing the fight song in the house. Start getting enthusiastic. Yeah. You hear that?
Yeah.
You hear that?
Here's the thing that blew my mind about this one is I checked in on the game because it's Michigan. I always check in.
Thank you.
You watched the whole game.
Of course.
Why'd you watch the whole game? This was over.
Because I don't just watch the game when it's close. Like, that's my squad. So I'm looking at the backup linebackers. I'm looking at the young wide receivers. Everything. Want to make sure we get out of the game with no big injuries. And I like to see Jim Harbaugh leaving the field as a success. Because I remember at points of this year, people was questioning him and questioning them.
Oh, yeah, that was me. That was me. That was just people. That was me sitting right here across from you. That was me. But I'm still doing it. They have Michigan State in a couple weeks.
I'll be on campus tomorrow. Going to see Juwan Howard coach at home.
Georgia beat Florida in two top 10 teams. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
So, hit the brakes on this one.
Okay.
And this was something that has nothing to do with the score of the game.
Oh, okay.
Okay. This has nothing to do with the score of the game.
Okay, I'm all ears.
Something really disturbed me when I saw footage of this.
Okay.
Dan Mullen is the head coach of the Florida Gators.
Mm-hmm.
His wife is a terrific supporter of the team.
Yes, she supports the team.
So much so that she's kissing those young men in the mouth, each of them.
When they get off pre-game. The bus, she has a tradition where she gives everybody a little kiss. I don't think she's trying to lip kiss. I think she might mess it up from time to time. But she's lip adjacent.
There are too many people on a football team to be doing this.
It's a lot. High five would be fine.
It's a little bit extra.
It's a high five. High five would be fine.
And catch mono.
She's going to get that mono. You can catch worse than mono. Let's move on. Canelo beat Kovalev on Saturday night. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
In the 11th round, Canelo knocked out Kovalev, and Canelo did it with style. When you see this knockout, he had Kovalev all against the ropes. Jalen, what do you think is next for Canelo after this big win?
I like the way he's matured as a fighter. I remember him looking scared to death when he was in the ring with Floyd. So to watch him grow like this has been amazing. But I got two people I want to see him fight.
Oh, okay.
You ready for this?
I'm ready.
You remember when people was like, oh, is the Floyd and Manny Pacquiao fight going to happen? We talked about that on this program, okay? So I got two fights I'm going to throw out there for you.
I'm ready.
One, against Lomachenko.
Mm-hmm.
Two, Terrence Crawford.
I love those two.
Those are two people I want to see him in the ring with.
I think Canelo would have to lose some weight or Lomachenko would have to go up, but I love Lomachenko. He does not get enough attention for how talented he is in the squared circle. Moving on, the 76ers are the only undefeated team in the NBA. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Well, they got a game winner from a rare source, Furkan Korkmaz. Check this out. Not exactly the biggest name on the 76ers roster, but that shot gave them the lead and eventually the win to stay undefeated on the road in Portland. What do you think about these undefeated Sixers?
It's a comeback victory as well. Anthony Simons just made a shot on the other end to put Portland up.
Mm.
But there was one time in this game, because I was watching this game, I have to bring this up.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Dame Dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Dribbles the basketball across half court.
Yep.
Takes one dribble. Pulls up effortlessly for three. All net.
He's been doing that.
That shot had to be between 35 and 40 feet. It's almost as long as the shot he made against the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yep.
It was beautiful. But for Philly, it was all about Al Horford. Remember, Joel Embiid suspended. And I keep calling this the reverse Benjamin Button effect. You bring in the older guy to play quality minutes for the younger guy.
Yep.
That either you're load managing and or he's suspended. So his big game allowed Philly to get back into it. And Ben Simmons, if you had a foot race amongst all of the guards in the league, I bet he has a great chance of winning.
Really?
He's really fast.
Really? That's 6'10"?
That's one of the first things that jump out to me when I watch him play. That he's really fast.
We have a LaMelo Ball update, Jalen Rose.
Oh, you got to hit the brakes.
I love LaMelo Ball Cook. So much. With 19 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists against grown. Look at that.
Bye, bye.
Casual. Just casual. This is a really young man. Hold I do on. Not know why he does not get more attention in national spotlight for his talent, and especially knowing that he's going to be at least top 5 pick in the NBA draft.
So what does that say about us? Okay? We're a national program, David Jacoby.
Oh, I'm going to keep banging this drum. I'm going to keep banging this drum until everybody catches up.
Jacoby, we brought him on the show when he was still in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So to those that follow the J&J movement, they know that you make sure – that we're going to talk about LaMelo Ball every day.
Because everyone's going to end up talking about LaMelo Ball. Everyone is. And you're going to remember, when he walks across the stage and shakes Adam Silver's hand as the number one, number two, number three pick, just remember where you got it first. Some GMs better not pass on him. I'm not passing on him. I would have trouble passing
Remember
on him.
Remember he had 90 points in a high school game?
Oof. Teddy Bridgewater went back to his Miami high school. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Well, Teddy Bridgewater did some strutting when he went back to his high school. Take a look at this. The lean back.
There's Teddy
following along in the rain. Jalen Rose, could you strut like that?
I can strut like that, but not as well as he doing it. I like that so very much. That's a great piece of video.
Look at him staring right at the camera. I love it so much. Jalen, I have a news. Miami Dolphins won an NFL football game on Sunday. They were playing against the Jets. I don't know if you've noticed, the Jets not good at football. Adam Gase under the hot seat, under the microscope. Here's what he had to say after the Jets lost to the Dolphins.
We're 1-7. I mean, everybody feel like crap, you know. And you don't put in all this time and effort to come out here and lose. I mean, we got to get things fixed. That's what they know. That's what I told them. That's what the other guys in the locker room were saying the same thing. I mean, it's the NFL, man. It's the NFL. Can't be embarrassed by it.
Makes me sad. He just looks defeated. He looks sad.
But he knows who he is. And that's why he pulls that hat down so low. Because while they're struggling, he ain't gonna let us make fun of his eyes.
No.
Like that happened.
And you know
he
wanted to win against his old team too.
So Stephen Ross, fellow Detroiter, Michigan alum, owns the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. So I closetly root for their team.
Okay.
I wanted them to lose. I want them to get the number one pick.
Yeah, let's see it.
So the Bengals were celebrating this victory. And when you coach against your former team like Adam Gase was doing, and the former team is trying to lose beats you, that further goes to what I said earlier in this program. This would be his only year coaching them.
You think this is his only year head coach of the Jets?
Yeah. Because do you see Sam Darnold improving?
No. Remember that was one week when they played the Cowboys?
I don't see Sam Darnold improving. You see Lamar Jackson? He was in the same draft, right?
He looked pretty good. Lamar Jackson looked pretty good yesterday.
Weren't they in the same draft?
I think Lamar might have been.
It was like later. 4 or 5 quarterbacks went. And I was on get ups. I stood on the table. I almost literally stood on the table. Like, I'll take Lamar. Because Darnold was turnover prone in college.
Mm-hmm.
And so, did you see the bad interception that he threw?
Oh, yeah. Which one?
I like what you did there. Yeah, that's going to cost your coach's job.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, you know he wanted to win that one. And you say you secretly root for the Dolphins, huh?
Yeah.
What team do you outwardly root for? The Lions went to Oakland. They didn't win, Jay.
Bay Area!
They didn't win, Jalen. There was that touchdown with just over 2 minutes left in the game. It gave the Lions a chance. They had the ball and didn't make it in, Jay.
It was something really special about this game. I got to make sure I point out.
Didn't make it in. Look at that. You got a chance to win the ball game. Didn't work out.
So, let me get this right.
Good.
You do a bunch formation.
Mm-hmm.
On the goal line.
Mm-hmm. Fourth down.
Where's Galladay?
He's in a bunch, right?
With Marvin Jones. You don't throw them the ball?
Well, Matt Stafford was running backwards.
He threw for 400 yards.
He was running backwards. I don't know, Jay. You know that every team in that division lost?
Jacobs, 2 touchdowns.
That's an opportunity right there. Every team in the division lost.
He was running all over us.
You had an opportunity Did you feel more rah or more meow?
Meow.
Oh, y'all just wrong. I quit this program.
Very quickly tonight, Cowboys and the Giants, any chance we get an upset from Danny Dimes?
Saquon, I need 3 or 4 touchdowns to sway my fantasy league this week.
You're talking about your fantasy team again?
Of course. Everybody cares about fantasy except you.
We're talking about Jermaine Whitehead. Oof. That's when we lose your job real quick.
Let's go there.
Okay. We'll talk about it a little bit in the television show, but this is probably going to get a little too hot for TV.
Yeah, let's go there.
Hit the button, Reg.
Hot for TV. We need you to read those tweets.
A
version of them.
Because I'm not reading those tweets.
There's a lot.
Like you're trying to get me fired.
Me and Jermaine
about to be in the same unemployment line.
Well, I'm gonna read them.
You know they dropped him, right?
Yeah.
Later. Sorry. No more job for you, buddy.
So crazy. What I want people to understand. And I stole this from my homie that's a barber in Detroit.
Shout out.
Social media and getting like really interactive with it has a term. Sinternet.
Okay. Sinternet?
What?
Okay.
The things that take place on Twitter and on IG and on Facebook, it's only a slight gift. Everything else is a curse. Because when you post something, you're taking time and energy to do it and edit it and make sure it's the right picture, make sure it's the right angle.
I mess that up all the time.
You read it and you reread it and you do the caption and you redo the caption and then you post it.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you do after that? Go back and check the views.
Of course.
Go back and check the likes.
How many likes did I get?
And then you know what else you do? You check the comments.
Who saw my stories?
Who checked the comments? So you just spent over an hour on one post. Okay?
Maybe.
That ain't positive. That's negative.
No.
And in a professional context, what's his name again?
Jermaine Whitehead.
Okay, I'm about to pull his tweets up.
Oh, I got him right here. I got his whole address right here. We should send him a gift basket.
I can't stand you.
We should send him a gift basket. We really should. We should just send him some snacks. You know what I mean? Send him some Better Made chips or something. Jermaine, it's been a tough week.
Send some Garrett's popcorn.
Here's some popcorn and some chips from Jalen and Jacoby. And we'll give him a hoodie.
So, he was playing football.
Mm-hmm.
Those games are nationally televised.
Broncos, Browns. This is a safety for the Browns in case you didn't see this news story.
There was a gentleman that works in the media to send out a tweet and basically said his effort in tackling is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that game, and I saw the play he's talking about when a tight end fent. He was rumbling out there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if it was bad tackling or he just looked bigger, stronger, faster than everybody else.
A little bit of both.
But it seemed to be a little bit of both.
When you're safety, you know, tackling is important.
So post-game, because you know these games eventually end, Browns lost again. I told you from the beginning, don't drink the Kool-Aid in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Whitehead, still in uniform, pulls out a cell phone, like we like to do when we get off work. He was in his comments.
He didn't get tagged in any of these tweets either, so he's searching himself.
He was in his comments.
That's a Jalen Rose move. I'll search myself.
Well, it's not hard to do.
No.
Like, searching, let's not act like searching yourself is like rocket
science.
Because
if you've done it once, it just automatically pops up.
Right.
I just don't want to know what people have to say about me that they don't want to say to me.
So he was not happy with the individual that sent out the tweet.
Well, here's another thing I want to say just about the psychology of this is if you have a bad game and you're in the Browns and you lose to the Broncos, who aren't exactly the 49ers, and you search yourself, it's like, don't ask questions that you know the answer to. You know what's going to be there.
So I see a couple of allusions.
Justin Fox is the gentleman who's got a blue check. He's like an actual media member in Ohio.
Unlike us.
No, I mean, well,
he's actually a credible, hardworking member of the media.
Yeah. And there's some other people that just seem like regular civilians that he was going back and forth with. But I'll read one of his. No, I won't.
So there's a gang reference.
Yeah, and some words that I don't use.
But he did say he was out there playing with a broke hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you probably should talk to the trainer about.
Probably.
That's if you're going to play defense. You got definitely need those hands to get somebody to the ground. He made a reference to don't get smoked.
And if Mr. Brian Schaffler asked for a time and place, and then Mr. Whitehead just responded with his address. So here's my address. Any bleeping day of the week. And then he used a word that's a derogatory term.
But here's what's unfortunate. I don't believe he was born and raised in Cleveland. He was waived by the team.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that address won't exist much longer.
We should send some today.
I hate to see people lose their jobs because of social media.
It's not worth it.
That's what, he lost his job because of social media.
I understand the feeling. I understand the feeling of someone disrespecting you and you being upset, being angry about it. And I understand the feeling of wanting to use this type of language and make these type of threats. I understand it. I can understand it. But what you have to do is have another level of thinking that says, if I do that, then what happens next?
And also, as an athlete or whatever you use for social media, I always say, do it for your benefit, not your detriment.
Mm-hmm.
If the Cleveland Browns had won and he had 10 tackles and 2 interceptions, what would the feedback from the comments have been?
When he searches himself on Twitter, it would have been Whitehead's underrated. They need to sign him long term. He's one of the best safeties in the league. No one's talking about. That's what it would have been.
Yep.
That's what it would have been. But the fact of the matter is they didn't win.
Nope.
He didn't have 10 tackles.
Nope.
Gave up a couple touchdowns. I'm not going to say anything derogatory about Mr. Whitehead.
We're not.
We're
reporting the facts.
I'm going to send him some snacks.
And we were just reporting the facts. We're journalists.
So here's another thing. If this was a different player, would the Browns let him go? I'm saying no.
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 If it was Baker, no.
No. Yeah. If you're Odell Beckham, you can do this. You can get suspended and they'll bring you in the office and they'll say, sir, let's be careful on social media. This is against our social media policies. But life isn't fair.
Oh, you know what else I learned yesterday?
Life isn't fair.
While we talking about people who unfortunately lost their jobs, spent, 10 hours of my life watching football yesterday. Probably been doing that since I was 2. I noticed something yesterday. 3 people have something in common. Adam Gase, Dan Quinn, and Freddie Kitchens. They won't be coaching those teams long.
No. No. When it's week 9, when it's week 9, and people are already just like, oh, yeah, that's over. You can tell. You can tell. All 3 of them. I mean, Freddie Kitchens would be the only one that could hold on to his job if they turned it around like they did last year. But Gase, out of here.
One and done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He used to be the coach of Miami. They were winless. And get a win against you?
Dan Quinn's already looking at other cities.
Yeah.
Defensive
coordinator.
Yeah. He's looking at his lease, reading the fine print.
Yes.
You know, getting a good relationship with his
landlord. And Freddie Kitchens, one and done. One and done.
Mm-hmm. So we went to the Masvidal fight on Saturday. Jalen showed up, said he was cooking, so he was a little late. I ate dinner by myself. I'm fine. I love to eat dinner by myself. I had a steak.
Shows you're an adult.
I love to eat dinner by myself. It means I got a big family. I don't get to do that too much. But then, this is the part I want to talk to you about. We didn't talk about it at the time.
Okay.
You ate dinner at your house. You ate a steak when you met me. And then you ordered food when we got to the fight. That's 3 times dinner. I'm worried about you turning back into catering room, Jalen. When you ordered the food at the fight, I was like, yo, this is 3rd dinner right now. I was shocked we even wanted to eat when I was at the steakhouse and you're like, oh, I'm on my way, order me a steak.
That's a vet move, and I'm gonna tell you what that was all about. You gotta protect yourself when you're having multiple adult beverages.
Yeah, that's always, I understand what you're up to. It's a good strategy.
That's all that was about.
Anytime the night goes wrong, it's always because you didn't eat dinner. It's always because you just didn't eat enough. That's what happens when the night goes
wrong. Love planned meals.
Of course, but when I was in college, I used to make that mistake all the time. You know? I mean, you got can't skip dinner if you're going out.
But I got a complaint.
Nah, don't do it. Don't do it. I'm not going to let you do that.
Okay.
If you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. If you leave us a voicemail and you give Reggie a shout.
You must give Reggie a shout.
He'll pick it for the show, just like this.
Hey, JALEN. Hey, Jacoby. Shout out, Reg. My name is Matthew. I'm from Alaska. I moved to Washington a couple months ago. And I'm a huge Knicks fan because my family's from New York. And I wanted to ask, there's a big Fire Fizdale movement going on right now in the depths of Knicks Twitter. And I wanted to get your opinion on it just because the offense has been pretty stale. The defense hasn't been, you know, that dog defense that we thought we'd see in the offseason that he was hyping up. So I wanted your opinion on that. And also, I'm a huge fan of the show, bigger fan of the podcast, and I wanted to know, can we get Reggie a voice? Can we get him to come on the pod at least once? Can we get Reggie a mic, please? Keep getting in checks. Shout out Oakland. Shout out everywhere else. Shout out the entire world. Thank you.
There's a lot there.
Great caller.
Yeah, shout out to the entire world.
Thank you for taking time out of your day in your life to join our program.
What's the number, Jay?
985-80-JALEN.
Great job, buddy. You really got that one down now. You do have to close your eyes before you say it. Like you got it written in the back of your eyelids.
I don't want to say it too fast because I don't mess up.
But we'll start with the most important part of his call. We can have Reggie on. We could have Reggie on a special episode, but he ain't getting a mic. What? Can't get a mic.
You gotta have a mic.
Can't get a mic. We could have him on once, but he says some of the craziest stuff into our ears. You know that, right?
That's why he need a mic.
He says some of the craziest stuff into our ears.
So, I like to use this example, and I got it from one of our terrific executives, Mr. Bill Wolf, who also supports the program. Shout out to his son, Isaac. He's really good at basketball. Bill and Isaac. I need to go watch one of his games. You know, we always talk about groups with titles, but don't name everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know how much I hated that. For those that don't know, there was a period of time where this show was called The Rose Report.
It never happened, but go ahead.
The Rose Report.
You called it The Rose Report. It was called the Jalen Rose Podcast.
But you
called it The Rose Report, and I just never really told you it wasn't called The Rose Report.
But when you looked on the Grantland thing, it had it up there.
Picture of you in the gym, because I didn't know if I wanted to do this with you.
Correct.
I know you, dog.
Correct.
You could be bad at this. I don't know you. I put my name on that.
And then I walked into a room, sent a few emails like, we need to add Jacoby's name to the title.
That was a big day.
We need Jacoby's name in the title.
That was a big day.
So like Bill said, our group now is like Run DMC. It don't matter who's Run or who's DMC. They both dope. Reg is Jam Master J. He's not in the title.
Nope. There's a lot of people
that work on the show. But he speaks with his hands.
A lot of people that work on the show.
But Reg has the board, and he speaks with his hands.
Yeah, that's why he doesn't need a mic.
So every now and then, if you ever went to a Run DMC concert, Jam Master J would go out there first. J. Rest in peace, by the way. Jam Master J. Jam Master J. And he'd do a show before the show.
Mm.
Okay?
Yep.
And then he'd be out, run. So, my point is, at least once a month, in my opinion, Reginald Hooks should have a microphone.
Once. I'll give him once. We'll have Reggie on once. Not a month. Once. Once. Big shout to Reg. Fizz ain't getting fired.
Nope.
Fizz ain't the problem.
Nope.
Look at the team. You Frank Ntilikina, nope, ain't working. Kevin Knox, nope, ain't working. RJ Barrett, working. Alonzo Trier, working. Mr. Robinson, working. Look at the team.
This is what happens in sports so very much. This cancel culture just makes me laugh. Preach. I remember using this exact analogy with Jim Harbaugh. When you recruit top flight players to come play at Michigan, you know what they have to do on Saturdays? Ball.
Mm-hmm.
He can write so much on the board. He can give so many motivational speeches. They got a ball.
Yep.
And when I look at the Knicks, I'm looking at – now, Morris is balling.
Yep.
Morris is balling.
Someone's got to score.
Morris is balling. RJ Barrett is balling.
Yep.
They balling. Now, I need more out of a few more people. Kevin Knox.
Mm-hmm.
Need more out of you, young man. Need more out of him. Right?
Yeah, Frank too.
Neil Akita. Need more out of you, young man.
I was really thought that would translate. Great summer playing for France.
Yeah, I seen you rip Kemba Walker in the Team USA game and go the other way. I need more from you.
Yeah. We need you to do that in the orange and blue.
It ain't Fizz's fault. Nope. And they lost a couple of heartbreaking games. But if you're really a Knicks fan, they had a couple of heartbreaking losses.
So I'm going to take Quincy to a Knicks game, right? It'll be like his
done,
fourth.
Done and done.
I'm going to take him to a Knicks game. Here's the thing.
Please let me know when.
He got to see a win. He's gone to the MSG three times. It wasn't even close once. And he wants to stay till the very end.
Yes.
I got to look at the schedule. I think they're playing the Nets soon or something. They're playing the Hornets. Like, there's a game. I'm like, maybe they can win that one.
Yo, my nephew has a trait that I love.
What's that?
He won't be die easy. You just said a line to let me know that he's not going to be like you when it comes to that. You said he wants to stay to the end.
Yeah. He wants to stay to
That's
the very end.
That's a trait of loyalty.
You know what he's loyal to? Cotton candy. That's what he's doing. First thing we do, we get in the building. Where's the cotton candy, Dad? Thank you so much for the call, Matthew. Really appreciate you. We'll be back tomorrow. Why Zach Harris?
Done. We're not done. We're not done.
Got to give the people what they want. They my little guys. I love them.